Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Such good times that you and I have come into. Now it might not look that way on the outside. Sometimes, you know, it could look like, ooh, my bad times are ahead. But good times are ahead for you and I. How many people know it doesn't stop? Life doesn't stop with the end of our time down here on earth. Like we've said before many times, we've only just begun. We've only just begun. Our best days are out in front. And before you know it, man, do you understand you're going to have an entire eternity without trials and tests? Are you kidding me? An entire eternity without a single trial or test. Man, we need to remind ourselves of that constantly when we're in the middle of one. And just savor the moment. Just say, this is my moment. This is my time. I'm having a trial. Because I won't get to see any of these kind of things for all eternity once I'm out of here. They'll be gone forever. And oh, how we're going to miss some of them, you know? I just bet some of the saints in heaven right now are kicking themselves thinking, why didn't I just take advantage of that when I had it? I griped, I complained, I missed a great opportunity to grow spiritually and to glorify the King. I'm telling you, I believe folks, you know, they'll kick themselves for stuff like that. So just look at it as, you know, this is an opportunity. It is not forever. I think that is the biggest thing to getting through trials is recognizing this is not everything. This is not the end of the world for you. No matter what it is you're going through, you will get through it if you're in Christ. If Jesus is your Lord and deliverer, you will get through this thing. You will get through, and it will not last forever. It will not last forever, but that's where that impatience comes in, that panicking comes in, that fear will grip you because you just feel like, my God, I don't know if I'm going to get out of this. I don't know if it's going to get any worse or what. And you start panicking. You just got to stop and say, whoa, this is just a small sliver of time in all eternity. So even if it lasted your entire life here on earth, the trial you're in, which I assure you it won't, but even if it was to last your entire life here on earth, what is that next to eternity? It's not going to last that long. He will deliver. He will bring you through. And you'll experience a higher level of living in this life, in the here and now, if you'll just be faithful through it. Just be a faithful person through it. Do not become unfaithful in your trial. Don't become unfaithful in it. Just persevere through it. Press on through it. And just know it's not forever. Forever will be trialless. Selah. Pause and think about that one for a while. Let's let that settle on you. Eternity will forever will be trialless. Hallelujah. You won't even bang your finger with a hammer. You'll have such precision. You won't bang your knee in the dark. There won't be any darkness there. The light of the glory of our God will just fill the whole place. The light of His glory. Woo! And we've got some of that right now. In the here and now, we've got some of this glory of God available to us. The Bible says, Christ in you is your hope of glory. Hope, that word hope means confident expectation. Christ in you is your confident expectation of glory. What's that? That's the manifested awesomeness of God. That's what the glory of God is. And so what it's saying is Christ in you is your guarantee, is your confident expectation of God manifesting on you, manifesting through your life. If you've got him in you, then you will have him on you. If you know what's in you. When you understand what's on the inside of you, then you can draw it out. You can draw it out and put it on. Christ in you, your hope, your confident expectation of God in manifestation upon you. The glory, the glory, the glory, the glory of God, the awesomeness of the Almighty, the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty on your life. Come on, somebody. God is an awesome God. And he wants to be in manifestation upon our life. And when he is, it makes life so much worth living. It makes life so much more easier for us when we're wrapped up in his glory. When you're wrapped up in his glory, no matter what kind of trial you're going through, you can go through it comfortably numb. You go to the dentist, right? Before he pulls anything out of your mouth or pulls anything on you. Any times he'll take something, he'll stick you with a little needle or something, and he'll put some Novocaine in there or some kind of numbing thing, and he'll numb you up so you can't even feel your face. I've had a dentist tell me, you know, walking out of the dentist's office, I remember him telling me, now don't eat anything for at least so and so amount of time because you might chew your tongue up. I couldn't feel my tongue in my mouth. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Can't even feel the tongue in your mouth. You're chewing the thing, you know, you're not saying, that's a tough piece of meat right there. Can't even feel the thing. Hallelujah. Just numb, man. Numb. Numb with him. He wants to be all over your life. He wants to fill your atmosphere. And with him in you, we can have that. I said we can have that. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. And then when you find Proverbs 20, let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We'll go back to verse 24. Colossians 1:24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. What? I rejoice in what? Sufferings. Sufferings. He's out there on the missions field. He's out there working to expand the kingdom of God, bring people into the knowledge of the truth. I mean, he is experiencing trial after trial after trial. We're talking about the Apostle Paul here. And yet, notice what he says. He says, I rejoice in my suffering. I rejoice in my suffering. How can you do that? The only way you can do that is you got to be comfortably numb. You got to be numbed to the pain and the true hardship of suffering. You got to be numb to it. So he's going through it, but he's going through it with joy. He's going through it with joy. And he goes on, he says in verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. There are truths that have been hidden from past generations. There's things that are being revealed today to you and I, things that are available to us in the here and now that folks under the old covenant knew nothing about. They had no hope of knowing it because it wasn't being revealed to their generation. But it has now been and is being revealed. That which has been hidden from ages and from generations has now been revealed to his saints, to them. To his saints. Do I have any saints in the house this morning? Yeah. To them
God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. This mystery, talking about that which has been hidden. It hasn't been hidden from us, but it has been hidden for us. And he says, now it's being revealed. It's being revealed to you and I who are his saints. What are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, fully mature, we could say, in Christ Jesus, fully mature spiritually. We are growing up as God's very own children, as his people. We are to be growing spiritually. We are to be maturing and becoming more and more perfect. He's doing a perfecting work in you and I. In fact, hold your place there and go to James. James chapter 1. Notice this. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall. Huh? Count it all joy when you fall. Hallelujah. Don't get beat up over it. Don't get all negative. Don't fall apart over it. Why? Because you can get up again. That's good news. Aren't you glad that if you fall, you aren't utterly destroyed? Aren't you glad that if you fall, you can get up again? I like what the Bible says. It says a righteous man may fall seven times, yet rise again. We're able to get back up again. That's what I focus on. If you fall down, don't fall. Focus on the fall. Focus on the fact that you can get up. The fact that you have been privileged with the grace to bounce right back up again and be seven times stronger than you were before. That's something to get excited about. That's something to shout about even before you get up off the floor. You're lying there, you fell down, you go, oh, glory, glory, glory. What are you shouting for? I can get up. It ain't over till it's over. I've been knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I'm not utterly destroyed. I'm not forsaken. I can get right back up again. Hallelujah. Every time you fall, it should be a reminder that you can get up again, which is something to shout about. So you're shouting before you even back on your feet again. Hallelujah. That's faith, folks. I said, that's faith. That's mature faith right there. And we're growing up. I said, we're growing up to get to that place where no matter how many times we fall down, we're shouting, praise God. We're shouting. As soon as we hit the ground, we shout. Just like a bunch of weebles. We really don't actually fall. We just wobble. You know? You get knocked down, but you just come right back up. You fall, but you come right back up, so it's as if you didn't even fall. You just went, whoo, you just went for a ride. I remember when I was little, we had one of those, it was like a big weeble, but you blew it up. You blew it up, and it was a punching thing as a kid, and you'd punch it, and it would go to the floor and bounce back up. And no matter how much you beat that thing, you could kick that thing, beat that thing, throw that thing across the room, boom, it would just keep coming into that upright position. Thank God you and I could keep coming right back into that upright position. We could still return the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what's coming or what kinds of storms are blowing, it will not destroy us. We will not be utterly destroyed. We will not be completely knocked out. We will come up again. We are arising. Hallelujah. He said, verse 2, but my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Notice that it's producing something. The test, the thing that you're persevering through, it's producing patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's what we're growing up into. Coming into a place of maturity, a place of perfection, a place of completeness, where we are complete and lacking nothing. Now, the truth of the matter is, we don't really lack anything at all. Because if you've got the greater one, if you've got God, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and Christ is in you, then you will not, you are not in lack for anything, because there's no lack in Him. How many of you know He is complete? He's entire. He's lacking nothing. And when He comes to live inside you, when Christ is in you, you now technically are lacking nothing. You already have everything you're ever going to need. Because it's all in Him. And Him's in you. Come on. Say, it's all in Him. And Him's in me. Yeah. So it's all in me. It's in there. Glory to God. So then we're complete. Aren't we? We're already complete in Him. And I wish I knew exactly where it is right now. I turn to it. But the Bible tells us under the new covenant. It says that we are, you are complete in Him. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Somebody say, I'm complete. In Him. Because He who's complete is in me. Yeah. So we're already complete in Him, who is complete in us. So it's a done deal. Do you see this? All right. Now we're over in James, right? We're complete. And look what he says here. He says in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So he says, well, wait a second. Colossians 2:10 says we're already complete in Him. Now over here, it says by working our faith through trials and tests, we're what? We're being made complete. Well, are we complete or are we being made complete? Well, it's both. We're being made complete in the sense that He is completing the work in us of revealing to us how complete we already are in Him. See, we already lack nothing, but we just don't know it like we need to know it. Because when we know it like we need to know it, then we'll manifest it as we need to have it. And that's what Jesus did. If He needed something, He just manifested it. If there was a need for wisdom, He manifested it. How did He do that? He just reached down on the inside of Himself. He just listened to the Spirit. And He would come up with incredible wisdom, incredible answers. He never lacked an answer to anything. He was never in confusion or in the dark about anything. He lacked nothing. Because he listened to the Spirit. He listened to the Spirit of his Father, who was in him, leading him and guiding him in life. And so he was able, as he matured, because he did mature, as the Son of God, he grew and matured in spirit. The Bible tells us that in Luke, he matured in spirit, he matured in his soul, and he grew physically, just like you and I. And as he matured, he was able to do more and more and more until finally he got to the place where he was even able to endure the cross and raise himself up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. That's why he's the master. He is our Lord. He is our leader. He's the one that we're following. We're learning how to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. But he knew what was in him, and he was able to manifest it. And guess what? What was in him is in us right now. And as we mature spiritually, we're going to be able to draw out what is in us. We're going to draw out all that is in Christ in us and bring it into manifestation. That's where we're lacking. It's in the manifestation of the things that he has already given us. We're not lacking the things. We already have all things. We're just lacking in the manifestation of those things. How do you manifest those things? You manifest those things by faith. And so as our faith matures, manifestations come more easily. We're able to manifest more of what we're in need of or what other people are in need of. So that's why he says, verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It's as we endure through trials and tests that we mature in spirit. Our faith matures as we don't waste our trials and our tests. Stop wasting your trials and tests on murmuring, complaining, and fussing and fighting. Stop wasting a good trial and test. Come on. And take hold of it and use your faith on it. Begin to draw out a confession of faith. Begin to speak to that mountain. Begin to declare the word of the Lord to it. Come on. Don't just react in the flesh and allow yourself to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with the goodness and love of God that's been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. It's in there. It's in there, the love of God. It's in there. And that love never fails, which means you will never fail when you operate in it. When you yield to it, when you release love, you will win every time. I said you'll win every time. You'll win every fight. You'll win every battle. You will overcome and you will triumph. And you'll stand as more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Oh, this is good news. This is exciting news. Somebody say, I lack nothing except the manifestation of what I already have. Let's say that again. Say, I lack nothing except the manifestation of what I already have. I already have all things in him, because he is in me. Christ in me is my confident expectation of glory. Hallelujah. So it's through the trials and tests, he's saying, rejoice, don't whine. Don't go have wine to try to get through a test. You know, either folks got whining coming out of their mouth, they got wine going in. They're trying to do something to deal with this thing. No, use your faith. Use your faith. Do you understand when I say use your faith? That means speak the word of God to it and get God's perspective on the trial and test that you're facing. See from God's vantage point. See things the way God sees it. Don't just see it for what it looks like in the flesh. Amen. Don't stop there. See it according to the Spirit and respond to it according to the Spirit. Don't just run off and do something in the flesh to treat the situation. Don't just run off in the flesh. Use your faith on it. And when you do, you are exercising. You're exercising your faith. And if you're exercising your faith, you're exercising your inner man. And if you're exercising your inner man, you're putting Christ in you to work on your inner man. And he's doing a work in you. Come on. He wants to be working in you. He doesn't want me just sitting down in there dormant saying, well, when you get to, I'm here so you can go to heaven. He's not just in you as a ticket to heaven. He's in you to work in you, to work in you, to work in you. Notice, go back to Colossians. Back to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. He's trying to make stuff known to us. That's what this is all about. That's why we're gathered here this morning. You say, Lord, make it known to me. Open my eyes to the mystery. Help me to see what you've done for me. Help me to see all that Christ has provided for me through our redemption. Help me to see it, Jesus. If I can see it, I can believe it. I can walk in it. And I can manifest it. I can have it in manifestation in my life. To them, verse 27, to them God willed. That'll change the way you pray. Oh God, I need, give me. No. Now we come to him and say, now Father, I thank you that you have already provided for me everything I need. Now help me to see what I have here. Help me to see the truth that you've already put in me through the Spirit of truth. Help me to see it. Help me to know it. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Open my eyes to the provision that you've already provided for me. And I tell you, it makes receiving a whole lot easier, because now instead of trying to get God to give you something, which you never know with God, whether he'll do it or not, please. Let's send out an email blast if I can get 2,000 people to hook up with me. Come on, let's all lasso God together. Come on, somebody. Come on, put your hook up there. Hook on to him. Come on now. Hey, Jesus, help them, Lord. Give them what they need. Come on, Jesus. I got 1,000 people tugging on the Father. Yeah, now the Father's starting to feel it. Oh, I don't know if I can resist this one. This is a big bull. What a waste of energy. What a waste of a trial. Because folks are praying all along, trying to get God to do something he's already done. Begging and believing for something he's already done. But when you know he's already done it, oh my goodness, we're more than halfway there. We're more than halfway there. You know, I don't have to try to get him to do something. He's already said yes and amen here. He's already put it in me. He's already provided it for me. Now I got to do say, Father, help me to see what you've already given me. Help me to walk in this power. Help me to stay in faith. Don't let me mess up here and get all in the flesh. That's a good prayer to pray. Don't let me be an idiot. Don't let me just walk in the flesh. Please don't let me be blind to what you're doing and what you've done. Help me to walk in the light. Help me to walk in the light of this. I thank you for it. I thank you for the light, and help me to walk in the light of it. You know, if you know he's given you the light, then how much more is he going to help you walk in the light? But if you don't know he's given you anything and you're kind of hoping he'll give you something, then you're still in the dark. And that's hard. Hard to receive there. That's what most folks don't. Unless they're just shooting in the dark and by accidentally hit something, you know. And they get their answer somehow. Somehow they push the right button. But most folks don't receive anything sitting in the dark like that. No. Just say, I got the light of the world. That light is in me. I know everything I need to know when I need to know it. Now, Father, help me to walk in the light. Help me to walk in the truth. Help me to walk in the provision that you've provided for me. Help me to walk in the healing power, the divine healing you've already provided for me. I know, Jesus, he already bore my sicknesses and my diseases. Now help me to walk in that, Father. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding to it. Don't let me be deceived by symptoms. Don't let me be deceived by circumstances. Don't let me be deceived by the deceiver. Because that's the devil's whole job, is to keep you from what is already yours. To keep you from who you are. To keep you in the dark about what you already got. That's his whole job. So just pray, Lord, don't let me be deceived. Help me to walk in the light. Now, I pray that all the time. And it works. I said it works. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So notice, coming back again to Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the latter part, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. It's being revealed to us. It's being unveiled to you and I. Where is the veil? Well, the veil's been over our eyes. The veil of the flesh, it's been over our eyes. But thank God that veil is taken away every time we turn to Christ. Every time we turn to Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that veil is taken away. That's why even if you fell and did wrong, bless God, repent. What does repent mean? Turn. And as soon as you turn, another veil comes off. So that you're even better off than you were before you fell. So that what was meant for evil against you has actually turned out for your good. I mean, come on. Born to win. That's you and me. That's who we are. Born winners. Born again. Born of God. Oh my. So he says, which is Christ in you. So much I want to get to, but this is so rich. Just so rich this morning. Hallelujah. I just keep putting stuff on my finger. All kinds of jewelry here. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. How do we get perfect? How do we become mature? We endure. We endure through the trials and tests. We don't waste them. We persevere. We endure. We press through. Press through knowing it's all temporary. It's not forever. This too shall pass. And what God said shall all come to pass. Oh, hallelujah. We're persevering. We're pressing through it. As we're enduring, we are maturing. We are being made perfect in Christ Jesus, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, verse 29, to this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So notice this, as Paul is rejoicing through trials and tests, rejoicing in his sufferings, as he's persevering through these things, what's happening? Well, he's maturing because Christ who is in him is working in him mightily. The greater the trial and the test, the greater the working of God that will go on inside you if you will go through that thing in faith. You get a hold of that and that'll get you rejoicing. I'm not saying you're going to feel like rejoicing. There's not a trial or test we go through in life where you feel it in the flesh. You feel like rejoicing in the flesh. This is a rejoicing that's from the Spirit. This is a rejoicing that's according to faith. This isn't a rejoicing that's according to the flesh. The flesh is suffering. The flesh is uncomfortable. The flesh feels lousy. The flesh wants to say all kinds of things. But we know something. And what we know is greater than what we feel. See, I'm talking about big faith now. Come on, I'm talking about faith that's bigger than your trial. I'm talking about a faith that's bigger than your feelings. I'm talking about a believing that goes beyond what you're feeling and seeing and experiencing in the flesh. And from that place of believing, we rejoice. Ha, 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 hallelujah. I've had times where things seem to be wonderful. And there should be cause for much running and rejoicing in the flesh. In the flesh. Things naturally feel good. I feel good. The weather's nice this time of year usually. And there's a nice meal on the table. And people are being nice to me. Thank you, Jesus. And things are going good. And there's some prosperity. And praise the Lord. And everything's just great. And yet on the inside, I got a... And it doesn't happen a lot, but there are times where you find yourself crying and being burdened in your spirit when everything in the natural says, cool, man, we're good. But we're not following that. We're not following the cool feeling. We're following this burden. And sometimes what that is, it's the Lord wanting me to pray for someone else or intercede for somebody else. And you begin to, with your spirit, hook up with somebody else's trial, somebody else's test, something that somebody else is going through, somebody's life is in danger or something like that. And you're getting in there in the spirit and you're working in the spirit and you've got this groaning and crying and you don't even know what you feel so sad. You just want to cry and cry and cry and you have no natural reason to want to cry. But you're following the Spirit of God into intercession and you're helping somebody in the Spirit. You're helping getting them through a trial and a test. Helping getting them out of things. I believe God's even used me to help pull people right out of the fires of hell. I mean, I was interceding one time and I felt all the horror and fear as one would probably feel going down into hell. And I was crying out and I was sweating. I mean, I was feeling it in my spirit. And I was given expression to it. I was letting that dominate me. And the Lord brought me through that thing. And at the end of it, there was a note of victory. I had a rejoicing. And I didn't know exactly what had happened. But I knew somebody just got delivered. Somebody just got delivered from hell. As God used me to pray out beyond my mind. Pray by the Spirit through intercession. See? Well, see, on the flip side of that, everything seems awful. Nothing seems to be going right. Everything seems terrible. And yet, oh, yeah. Nothing but joy in there. Nothing but joy in there. Nothing but joy in there. Hallelujah. Nothing but excitement in there. I know, bless God, it's going to be all right because I got the inside scoop on this thing. I got the inside scoop on this situation. It looks bad. It looks hopeless. Oh, it looks like you better do something. Ha, ha, ha. No, my spirit's too happy for me to worry. My spirit's too happy for me to worry. See, that's your spirit talking, or that's your faith talking. That's Christ in you. That's Christ in you rising up in you. And causing all this joy of the Lord, this inexhaustible joy, this intoxicating joy to come up and come all over you and manifest upon you and manifest through you. That's what God wants to do through you. Oh, come on. Are you with me this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Christ in you. We got to learn to listen to the inner man. It starts, friend, just by doing what you know to do in the midst of a trial and test. And the first thing you know to do if you fall and do something foolish in the flesh is to what? Get up, turn, repent, and rejoice that you get to do that. Turn. Let him wash you up real good. Have confidence. No, you said, if I confess my sins, you're faithful just to forgive me my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, do that. The more you do that, the less you're going to find yourself falling. Because the more you grow spiritually, the less you'll fall. And a lot of folks have this idea, we're just little Christians, you know. We're not perfect. We just sin, you know, and we get back up again only to sin again. And there's no hope of that ever changing. But that's not the Bible. We're growing. Every time you get up, every time you turn to the Lord, you repent, you make things right, and you begin to exercise your faith. You begin to use your faith on your symptoms. You begin to use your faith on your circumstances. You begin to declare the word of God and so forth, and you keep pressing in, pressing in, pressing in, listening to your heart, following your spirit, being faithful. Don't become a faithless and perverse person because things don't seem to be going good for you. Continue to be faithful. Continue to press. And what's going to happen? You're going to grow. You're going to mature. And this working of God, look at this. His working of God is going to work in you mightily. Work in you mightily. So that the mystery of Christ in you isn't a mystery anymore to you. The mystery of Christ in you is no longer a mystery to you. But you're walking in it. It's been revealed. You see it. And you're enjoying it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Does that get you excited? How many people would rather be a victim? How many of you, I think some of you, I don't know, you want to hear like, well, I understand you're just an old worm and there's really nothing you can do about it and you're just going to be a worm for the rest of your days down here on earth. But when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. For now, we understand that you're a griper and a whiner, and that's just a part of life, honey. You don't have to repent. You're a good whiner. You don't have to change a thing. I think sometimes that's what religious folks want to hear. They want to hear that. You want to hear, just tell me I'm a whiner and there's nothing I can do about it, so I don't have any responsibilities. Friend, you're in the wrong place. Anybody like that, you're in the wrong place. This is all about getting out of that mess and living an overcoming, more than conqueror, victorious kind of life that Jesus came to give you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And we're going to sing and rejoice all the way to heaven, not just when we get to heaven. Hey! Yeah. And you just got permission to get up and do it. Yeah. Come on, stand up and shout to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm leaving the mess. Because I'm too blessed to remain a mess. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank him for it. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for not leaving us, not forsaking us.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.